The newest Pew Research study on American science knowledge asked survey respondents 12 different questions about science. We did well in some areas, but not so well in others. We'll discuss what we know and what we don't know about science this hour, and why this might be, and how we can better our scientific knowledge overall. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, September 15th. We will also welcome your questions. We will welcome your answers, too, if you want to test your own scientific knowledge. At the top of the hour, I presented one of the questions that was asked in the Pew Research Center survey. That being, which kind of waves are used to make and receive cell phone calls? Do you know which kind of waves are used to make and receive cell phone calls? Are they radio waves, light waves, sound waves, or gravity waves? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And we don't have any big prizes for you, just bragging rights if you are correct. Let's welcome our guest. Dominique Brossard is a professor and chair in the Department of Life Sciences Communications at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Her research focuses on the intersection of science, media, and public policy. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is your takeaway, your main takeaway from this report? It looks like we did okay in some areas and not so well in others. What do we make of this?
I think it's an interesting study, and obviously the notion of scientific literacy and how much Americans need to know about science or know about science is an important one. But more importantly, I think the result point that it's difficult to measure that knowledge, because how do you define what are the important topics that need to be covered by such questionnaires, and how do you actually assess the knowledge is tricky, as the results of this study point out. We did well in some ways and not so well in others, but are we missing very big chunks of science knowledge that would be important to take into account?
Well, we'll talk about that, but first, what were some of the areas that we did well in?
So we did well in issues that we see very often in the news, and I think this is not surprising, and actually I thought was one of the most comforting results of the study. If people pay attention to news stories about science, then that tend to increase their science knowledge, because nowadays the main way people will learn about scientific topics is through the news, obviously. So, you know, uranium and the relationship to radioactive arms, for example, a different question related to topics covered in the news were really, really well known by the survey respondents. However, other topics that are more obscure and maybe related to things that were covered in high school, let's say 20 years ago, obviously didn't do so well. And those are questions related to some physics or geology, or actually, as a matter of fact, the question you ask our listeners, and we'll see how WPR listeners answer that question.
Yeah, I'm interested in that too. And I'm going to be blunt. I'm going to be honest. I did not get all of these questions right.
Exactly.
By any means. And some of them were maybe something I knew in high school, but I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Is that particularly worrisome that we can't answer every single question on this list?
And Joy, that's where, you and I agree about this test. And I didn't answer correctly those 12 questions either. And some were, very interesting to me, because I had to stop and think, such as the one, looking at how light is refracted through a magnifying glass and so on. And honestly, I don't think this is worrisome. I think what would be worrisome is realizing that the American public doesn't know enough about science to have an informed judgment about topics that are important nowadays, that actually have an impact on policy, that, you know, may have a relevance to their health. And this raises the question of whether we need to know about science. A lot of scholars have argued about that and saying that maybe what's more important is civic scientific literacy, something that makes people understand the relationship between science and society and makes them, let's say, informed citizens more than scientific experts. And I would say that some questions in this survey go more into the scientific expertise type of thing, where you know physics, geology, and therefore you can answer those questions. But if you haven't taken that class, if it was a long time ago, since they're not covering the news and not relevant to your everyday life, well, you don't know them, and that's fine, because we cannot know everything, right? It would be a waste of our time if we were trying to do that.
So here's the question I posed at the top of the hour. So far, no takers. Does anyone know? What waves are used to make cell phone calls? Let us know if you know. 1-800-642-1234. Which kind of waves are used to make and receive cell phone calls? Radio waves, light waves, sound waves, or gravity waves? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking about what we know and don't know about science, according to a new Pew Research survey, a report out that has new insights into our knowledge of science. And what it finds is that there are some gaps. Some of us are able to answer some of these questions, while there are other areas where we don't know a whole lot. We're talking about why this matters and how we can improve a public understanding of science overall. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, you know what, we have Greg in Milwaukee ready to try to guess the answer. Let me bring Greg on. Hi, Greg.
Hello. What you're talking about, what you hear in your cell phone is they're radio waves, but they're also Hertzian band waves, or microwaves, or long-wave radiation, and they're a form of light.
Really? It's all of those, all of the above. According to Pew, it's radio waves.
But radio waves are Hertzian band waves. They're in the Hertzian band on the spectrums of light. They're a spectrum of light.
Yeah, so what do you make of that, Dominique?
Well, that's exactly I thank the caller for pointing this out, because people have mentioned, indeed, that radio waves don't move at the speed of light, so it's going to be a different spectrum that will be used for the cell phone conversations. And that points to the difficulty of doing this kind of question when you propose, some answers that need to be simple in this kind of format. But the more people know about the topic, the more they're going to be able to point out, well, it's more complicated than we think. And what's interesting for this question, by the way, that we need to point out is that the results were not uniform across the population. 80% of those aged 18 to 29 actually answer radio waves, so correctly according to the report, and only 57% of senior citizens were actually informed about this. That points that, you inform about the things that you use and that are relevant to your life, which, again, I think may be something worth thinking about.
That's great. Thank you very much, Greg, for the answer. And everybody else who's waiting and guessed radio waves, you are correct. You win bragging rights. Thanks for trying. I'll pose another question in just a bit. But since you brought up the age gap on that, let's talk a little bit more about that. There are some older Americans were more likely than younger Americans to identify Jonas Salk as the inventor of the polio vaccine. How much does it matter to know the names of people who did things?
Honestly, I think it matters if, let's say, younger population, kids in school, can identify with these people, and it may actually help them develop a passion. For example, right now, we have, still a problem with women in the STEM disciplines, right? Women in science. And we used to have very famous women in science. However, they're not known. So to some extent, for girls, they may have a problem thinking, oh, look at that person who did great. I want to be her. So depending on different type of groups, you know, it may be important to have that. In the absolute, normatively, I think it doesn't matter. And this is another example, by the way, that shows how it's related to relevance, because a younger population haven't seen any polio case around them versus my parents' you know, generation were very familiar, very scared by that disease, and tended to be much more informed about it, right? But I totally agree with your point, Joy. Normatively, generally, just knowing a name per se really doesn't matter much. I think what the name represents may be important.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about what we know and don't know about science. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about science this hour and what we know about science. A new Pew Research report is out, and it has new insights into our knowledge of science, what we know and what we don't know. For example, only a third of us knew that water boils at lower temperatures in higher altitudes. But why does this matter? And in any case, how can we improve public understanding of science? We are talking about this with Dominique Brossard. She is a professor and chair in the Department of Life Sciences Communications at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Her research focuses on the intersection of science, media, and public policy. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question about this report or our knowledge of science. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's go to Willie in Steuben next. Hi, Willie.
Hey, how's it going this morning, Joy and Dominique? I listen to you every morning on the way to work. I'm a logger.
Oh, well,
and
thank you.
This is a really good one you got going, and I had to call. I'm wondering how and who came up with the questions to ask in this survey.
That's a good question, Dominique. Do we know who decided these were the questions to ask?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, the Pew Research group themselves decided those questions. The National Science Foundation releases every couple of years a report on the state of science in the U.S. and they ask a different set of questions. The Christian Science Monitor also has their own science knowledge questions. So what Pew did say is that they didn't include a lot of questions in life sciences. They try to include a lot of questions in physics and geology because traditionally that's where you see more gender gaps and more, you know, differences among different groups of the population. So they try to build a questionnaire that would assess these things. But the caller is pointing an excellent question, which is how do you decide what are the important topics that Americans need to know about. And that's really, I think, at the core of the issue that we need to think about when we talk about public understanding of science.
Dominique, do you think that they, I don't know, I mean, what are your thoughts on the types of questions that were asked? Did they get to what really matters, or do you think they might have asked some other things?
Well, you know, honestly, and I've written about this, I don't think they asked questions that really matter. Some of them may and some of them not. For me, I think asking questions about topics that are regularly covered in the news nowadays and are relevant to society nowadays are really important. And I think another part of the equation that's missing from this particular questionnaire is all the questions related to how is funding decided in science, you know, things like that, things related to science and society that are very important. And scholars in sociology have pointed out that the notion of nature of science is almost as important as scientific facts and the notion of science that people use in their everyday life to make decisions is most likely the one that matters the most.
Yeah. And Willie, I understand you're brave and you want me to present one of the questions to you.
I want to know how to take the whole test.
Oh, well,
to see if some dumb logger, you know, knows some of these things.
I bet you you do, and you're not dumb at all. But, you know, I'm pretty sure we have the whole survey on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page attached to our program note. But if we don't, we will make sure that we do. Let me ask you, though, one of the questions. Let me see. I'll do... this one was one that a majority of Americans got right. Which of the three layers of the Earth is the hottest? Is it the outer layer called the Earth's crust, the middle layer called the Earth's mantle, or the inner layer, which is called the Earth's core?
Core.
Ding, ding, ding. You are correct.
Excellent.
Yeah. Way to go.
I knew them all three, but... That's great, but I really want to take the whole test and see what these questions are, not just a couple of them.
Well, good.
www.pewresearch.org/quiz/science-knowledge.
There we go, and we will we'll make sure if that's not already on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page that it is. But Willie, way to go! That was 86% of Americans correctly identified the Earth's inner layer, the core, as the hottest part of the Earth, and that was one of the 12 questions. Here's a question that I'll put out there for everybody to try to answer: what object in space has an icy core with a tail of gas and dust that extends for millions of miles? What object in space has an icy core with a tail of gas and dust that extends millions of miles? Is it a star, a comet, an asteroid, or a moon? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dominique, the survey did, we talked a little bit before the news break, a little bit on the age gaps. The survey also looked at race and gender gaps in whether people answered questions correctly. Men outperformed women on several questions, even at similar levels of education. Previous research has also found that women generally lag on questions about physical sciences. Why do you suppose this is?
And this is something that I would say is related maybe to our science education system in the United States. And we've seen that although girls and boys are equally interested in these topics in middle school, as you go to high school, there is a gender divide as far as the ones that tend to take more physics and chemistry versus biology and the life sciences that tend to be more, you know, favored by girls. Interestingly enough, some recent research we have conducted showed that males also tend to gravitate more towards a specific type of scientific publications online and follow some specific science news online, and those are the ones that will score more in this type of questions. So to some extent, it's not gender itself, but is the type of news they consume online that will tend to increase or not their knowledge about those topics. So this is an extremely important, to some extent, finding, I would say, of this research, because it does point out that we still have that divide as far as physical sciences are concerned.
And we have Margaret in West Bend, the first one to call in with the answer, I presume.
I believe it's a comet.
You are correct. That's right. I'm sorry, go ahead, Margaret.
I wanted to say, you know, your first question about the radio waves, you know, I considered that such an easy question. I didn't call in because I assumed 10 million people flooded the lines instantly, and I wonder if that's why, you know, people didn't call in until you prompted us later, because that was, I thought, kind of an easy question. So, you know, I'm curious about the, like, grade level of these questions. Was somebody shooting for, let's make sure all the questions could be answered by, like, say, a fourth grader or something? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Dominique?
And that's a great question Margaret is asking. When you design this type of questionnaire, what you want to have as a result is a normal curve, so that the majority of people are able technically to answer correctly these kind of questions. And then you need to have some hard one that would discriminate between the respondents, so you are sure that you tap all the levels of knowledge. So that's what the questioner was trying to do.
Let's go next to Joe in Milwaukee. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I think this, I don't know if this is one of the questions, but certainly the information I think has been reported by Pew, and that is that over 40% of Americans do not believe in evolution. And the fact, for example, that, you know, it's now generally accepted that the world is approximately 4.5 billion years old, that the same group, the same 40%, believe that the world is less than 10,000 years old. And I think that's really shocking, particularly when I think studies have been shown in, say, European countries and other Western countries, where these questions are generally accepted, that evolution, for example, and obviously it's the world is far, far older than 10,000 years old. And I suspect that much of this comes from, you know, kind of fundamentalist religious beliefs.
A reaction to that, Dominique?
Very good point. That, as a matter of fact, that there have been studies that have compared scientific knowledge among Americans and other countries in the world. And for the questions that the caller is pointing out, and one was human beings as we know them today developed from early species of animals, United States scored low on that, with like close to 45% only answering true, versus in Japan you had 80% that were saying true. So those were, it's interesting because in this case, it's a belief that drives the knowledge. So it's not that Americans do not know that this is a theory that may, you know, that is backed up by evidence, but they don't believe it. So it raises a more fundamental question about how do you educate Americans about the validity of scientific knowledge, and how do you come to know, you know, how the natural world is working. So important.
So, Dominique, how do we know about how Americans learn about science in the first place?
So other studies have tried to explain if Americans, for example, understand the scientific method, that idea that, you know, you will have a hypothesis and then you develop a theory that can be disproved by others when they actually gather facts that, you know, show that that theory doesn't work the way we think and so on. And previous studies had realized that Americans had not a great understanding of what it means for something to be a scientific theory. That the scientific theory is not a hypothesis. A scientific theory is backed up by evidence, by data, by a lot of empirical research that show that it works. So that goes back to the studies pointing out that then the problems rely somewhere in science education. The failure of the system to actually explain, make people really grasp that developing a scientific theory is actually a lot of hard work. You need a lot of data to be able to call, you know, evolution a theory. It's not just some speculation by a bunch of scientists. So I think that the point to keep in mind is that where do people learn about science is the main thing that we should think about and work on that part if we want to increase public understanding.
Yeah. So is this a high school education problem, a post-education problem, something else?
I think we shouldn't point finger to only one, you know, aspect of the system. It may be, you know, everything and the above, because look at, for example, the nature of science news nowadays. Science columns are disappearing from newspapers, and this is related to the state of the journalism industry, right? Mm-hmm. And things like that. If you go to high school, the way science is so fragmented now, and the way knowledge, you know, is produced in different disciplines, means that kids may very well go through high school without taking a real biology class, right? right? Because they can choose so many different things. So to some extent, we have lost that, you know, idea that you need to produce educated citizens to some extent that have enough scientific literacy to be good citizens and be able to grasp science policy in this country. So it's not just education or the news and so on, but it's all over the ball. Let's keep in mind, too, that I don't think things are catastrophic. I mean, this test, it says, basically, you know, people, if you were looking at an average of 10, people have 6.6 out of 10, right? 6.6 out of 10, that's not bad,
mm-hmm.
right? That's okay, they don't have 10, but they don't have 2. Overall, Americans have 6.6 out of 10, if you're thinking that, you know, maybe that translates to a D, but D is a passing grade, honestly, right? So not everybody has A's, and that's the way it is. And the other point to keep in mind is, compared to other countries, we're doing okay. The National Science Foundation report, a couple of days, it was last year, I think, compared Americans with other countries. Americans were not doing well on those areas that the previous caller pointed out that are based on religious beliefs and so on. But for other areas, they were really comparable to North Korea and European Union. Again, it depends of the area you're exploring and what's the goal of the survey.
Well, here's one of the questions that Americans didn't do so great on in the Pew study. Here's the question. The loudness of a sound is determined by what property of a sound wave? The loudness of a sound is determined by what property of a sound wave? Frequency, wavelength, velocity or rate of change, amplitude or height? Do you know the answer? The loudness of a sound is determined by what property of a sound wave? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have news in just a couple of minutes, Dominique, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your one of your field of research, the intersection of science, the media, and public policy. You think too that maybe the scientists should do a better job in communicating their knowledge.
And I think you're pointing to something that's very topical right now, that realization that science communication is extremely important nowadays, since scientific topics are, you know, all around us, well, climate change, synthetic biology, gene editing, and so on, with a lot of consequences for the American public. And since people continue to know, to find out about science once they're done with the education, right, and since the news industry is not providing all the potential content that people know to be informed citizens, we need other actors, you know, on the arena that need to communicate. And it has been claimed that indeed scientists should also be part of the equation. And I'm a firm believer that scientists have a role to play. I mean, myself included, as a social scientist, we need to be, ready to come and discuss and explain and communicate our passion and explain how, you know, we know what we know. And the problem then goes back to a training issue. And I think traditionally, scientific fields, hardcore science, did not include training in communication and understanding of audiences, processing, and so on. But the good news is things are changing. For example, UW-Madison in my college, we have a big science, media, and society course that all the undergrads from the fields can take, and they begin to be trained to actually apprehend these kind of things and understand that scientists have a role to play as far as communicating science.
We are talking with Dominique Brossard, a professor and chair in the Department of Life Sciences Communications at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We are talking with her about this new Pew Research study on what Americans know and don't know about science. And we're welcoming your questions and your answers to the quiz questions at 1-800-642-1234. We'll be back after news. Do you think Americans know enough about science? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A new Pew Research study finds that most of us can answer basic questions about several scientific concepts, but we know less about some other science-related terms and applications. We're discussing what we know and what we don't know and why and how it matters and how we can improve our science literacy. And we are welcoming your questions for our guest. We're also welcoming your answers to some of the questions that the Pew Research Center quizzed Americans on, like this one, which is the one on the table. The loudness of a sound is determined by what property of a sound wave? Is it frequency, wavelength, velocity or rate of change, or its amplitude or height? Let's go to Dave in Madison, who wants to guess. Hi, Dave.
Hi. It's the height of the wave. The wavelength or the frequency relates to the pitch of the sound.
It is, there we go. I finally got my my sound effect. It is the amplitude or height. And in fact, we had one caller who wanted to say, hey, those are the same thing. And that's right. It's just, I guess, Pew defined amplitude on the quiz itself. So you are correct, sir. Thanks very much for guessing. So, Dominique, that was one of the questions that we had a little harder time with. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't have the correct button pushed. So, Dominique, that was one of the questions that Pew posed that fewer of us knew.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Joy, I have to confess that I answered that one wrong.
Yeah.
So, good job to your caller. We didn't discuss one question that I thought was interesting, was about the one about astrology versus astronomy.
Right.
And that more than one in five of those taking the test said that astronomy was actually the study of how the position of the stars can influence human behavior, right? And so the answer should have been given astrology. So people are confusing astronomy and astrology. So this in itself, I said, is not a problem. But what I think is a problem in this kind of study is to put those two in the same question. Because people taking the test will come out thinking that astrology is actually a scientific discipline, and astrology is not a scientific discipline. So I think that, to some extent, shows how these tests can be dangerous, because in themselves they can reinforce false notions that people may have. Right. To some extent, we don't know, you know, what type of way cell phones use. It's not a problem. But if we think that astrology is a scientific discipline, that's a problem, because that means that people will follow their horoscope, you know, to make important decisions in their life. So I think this is something to keep in mind.
Our guest is Dominique Brossard, a professor and chair in the Department of Life Sciences Communication at UW-Madison. And our next caller is Jeremy in Green Bay. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment that I think in our pop culture, it's important to have pop culture savvy scientists. And I know that Neil deGrasse Tyson has a pretty strong Twitter following, and Bill Nye the Science Guy has been a role model for a lot of people growing up in my generation. And I think that they've done a very important job of promoting science and scientific inquiry and public knowledge of science in our society.
Yeah, so Dominique, do you give kudos to Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye and, I don't know, celebrity scientists? I don't mean that in a bad way.
Well, I think they play an extremely important role, right, in communicating about science nowadays. So, indeed, I think it's kudos to them.
Yeah. Greg in Brookfield called in but couldn't hold on. He wanted to know why we aren't even more knowledgeable about science since we have so much information available on the Internet.
And that's a great, great point. And it's true that, you know, like the commonwealth of information on the Internet technically make us, you know, potentially able to get any information we want and from anywhere virtually, right, with our cell phone. The good news is actually that Americans are searching about scientific topics. And the main way people access information about science is by using Google, right? The bad news is that when they search, they don't always find what they want to find, because they're going to have a first page of results, and then they're going to click on this first page of results and potentially not scrolling to the next one where the most accurate information would be. So in this case, I think it's a problem of organizations that provide scientific information that don't do everything they can technically to make sure that when people search for information online, the one that will pop up first are the one to be trusted.
We didn't go into some of the other gaps that the survey found. We talked that there were some age differences in answering these questions. There are some gender differences in answering these questions. There were some race differences. Minorities didn't do as well. What factors would lead white Americans to have the advantage in science knowledge?
Well, it goes back to what we were discussing before. So it may be, you know, availability of college education, or also, you know, potential access to news. We're talking about online news. I was telling you that for specific online publications, male tend to gravitate more towards some of them. And it goes back to what you were pointing out before about where people find out about science now that the internet potentially let them do it very easily. Well, we have a more and more fragmented type of news environment. So that means that people will be in their little niche, in their little bubble, and, you know, follow what's going on. So some of my colleagues that actually work in trying to break those barriers, gender, race, and so on in science, have pointed out that scientists maybe are not enough reaching towards some magazines that traditionally are read by, you know, let's say, African-American population, that we would need to have more science in those magazines, right? So that idea that you need to increase science content in those news niche and magazine niche that certain population read and accept is something that we need to think about.
We mentioned at the very top of the hour, the first question that I asked, younger adults had the advantage on that issue as well as several issues. For example, they identified that radio waves are the waves that cell phones use. Does this mean that science knowledge is, I don't know, that better for younger generations than it has been in the past? Do young people know more about science than they used to?
The young people that tend to go online to follow, you know, different scientific developments certainly are at an advantage. And we've shown that, you know, there's a knowledge gap that develops when people tend to go online and tend to get, you know, access to science news online. The more they do, the more they know about science, and that's true for younger populations, particularly male ones. So I said, yes, the news are good in that regard if we compare with, you know, times where we couldn't access science. And let's think about it. Again, we go back to your caller's point. We can search. You can be at the dinner table and say, what type of waves the cell phones use? You Google, you find the answer, versus 20 years ago, you had to go to the library or you need to access an encyclopedia that you didn't have at home. So I would say that I tend to be optimistic.
So here's one more question. We have time for another question or two. What does a light year measure? That's one of the questions that the Pew Research Center asked. What does a light year measure? Does it measure brightness, time, distance, or weight? What does a light year measure? 1-800-642-1234. Now, Eva in Woodstock, Illinois has a question. She didn't call in to answer that, but hi, Eva. What's your question?
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. Dominique, I've got a question for you about the lack of programs that target adults. It seems like all the scientific programs are targeting the K through 12. And then once you graduate from high school, there really isn't anything that somebody who may not be a scientist but is still interested in science can attend. Do you have anything to say about that?
And, you know, like, I'm so glad, Eva, you've said this, because that's what of my, you know, project, that, you know, one of the arguments always bring up at UW-Madison's. So, for example, continuing studies could have more, right, type of remedial programs in science for interested adults that want to find out more. If we are in a college town such as UW-Madison, I think there's a lot of opportunities for adults to continue, right, that type of training by going to lectures and so on. But if you're not, if you're in the middle of nowhere in America, or we don't have online courses, we don't have so many things. And I think this is something that's really worth thinking. It's actually hard for people that want to get continuously trained in these type of things to do so. Science festivals are a really good way to actually learn more about science, but I think people that go to science festivals are the ones that may already know a lot and may not need to find out more. But I certainly agree with you, Eva. We need to have more of those type of opportunities.
Okay, well, we have other callers, but nobody with an answer to the question. And since we're almost out of time, the light year measures distance. So in our final minute, Dominique, are you do you see our understanding of and engagement with science improving or worsening in the future?
Well, I think what's positive and what we can clearly see is a realization at institutional level that these are important questions, and that the public understanding of science is important, and that scientists need to be engaged with the public. And there are a lot of efforts at the state level, at the federal level, and so on, to train scientists to be able to engage effectively with different publics. So I think, honestly, I am optimistic, and I think that if we all continue to work in this important issue, we should be okay.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Dominique Brossard is a professor and chair in the Department of Life Sciences Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Her research focuses on the intersection of science, media, and public policy. Talking with us about the Pew Research Center report, a look at what the public does and does not know about science. And if we haven't yet, we will put the quiz on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can find it at pewresearch.org, quiz science knowledge. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Elizabeth Deliquest for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Tomorrow at this time, we will talk with a guest from the Department of Natural Resources about efforts to increase how many trees are planted in the state of Wisconsin. So we'll talk about planting trees tomorrow at this time.